Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, brought to you by OnPay, Atlanta's new standard in payroll. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we couldn't be sharing these important stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Joe Schaub with FinQuery. Welcome.
Thank you, Lee, for having me.
I'm so excited to get caught up. Tell us about FinQuery. I heard you kind of had a brand change, name change.
We did. So FinQuery, we are a B2B SaaS solution that helps companies with their largest areas of non-payroll spend. So the things that they lease, the things that they subscribe to, their software, and the contracts that govern those arrangements. We recently changed our name to FinQuery to reflect the finance and technology bent. Previously, we were LeaseQuery because we focused solely on lease accounting and lease management, and we expanded our remit to include software management, and contracts recently. And we felt that the fin and financial technology better reflected our expanded influence within the office of the CFO and the office of the CIO in technology as well.
But the kind of the premise is similar, right? You're enabling your clients to get kind of a holistic view of all of the financial issues that they're dealing with that might be complex because they could have a variety of different, like I guess you started in leasing, but there could be variety of, you know, software and licenses and all kinds of financial issues that maybe it's hard to visualize, you know, because they're so spread out across the organization.
That's right. So going back to the beginning, so, you know, our legacy was in leases. The, you know, it doesn't sound really sexy, but it was really quite interesting. The biggest change in the accounting industry occurred several years ago, occurred in the accounting industry when the Government Accounting Standards Board, the Federal Accounting Standards Board changed and required that every publicly traded company, every privately held company, every government entity changed the way they account for their leases. And they made that requirement more complex. So what they used to be able to do through spreadsheets and Excel spreadsheets and Google Sheets, they really needed to have technology. And so we created that technology, a B2B SaaS solution, and we by far became the largest, most complete provider of that solution. We have over 8,000 customers today. Along the way, so if you think about it, leases are a large line item within a customer's books. And you think about things that they lease, it's their office, it's land, it's equipment, it's their fleet. Along the way, as we were acquiring these customers and doing great work for them, they were asking us to do other things for them. And as we were evaluating those other things, we were looking at other big problems to solve for them. And one big area was SaaS subscriptions. So if you think about it, Lee, just think about your own home life. People are subscribing to, we live in a subscription economy now, right? You think about Hulu and Netflix and all the things that you subscribe to. Well, companies are no different. Today, companies will spend anywhere between $5,000 to $15,000 per employee on their SaaS solutions, right? So a 100-person company will spend probably around $1.5 million on SaaS solutions like their ERP systems, like their CRM systems, and the like. And those continue to grow. And so our customers were saying, you know what, managing those contracts, managing those renewals, managing, you know, whether we're managing these solutions in an appropriate and efficient way, were becoming really unwieldy. And they were managing them through spreadsheets, just like they were managing their leases through spreadsheets prior to adopting a solution like LeaseQuery. And so we looked into this problem. We were facing that problem ourselves. I faced that problem myself as the president of the company. We were growing so rapidly that we had our employees say things like, "Hey, Joe, I need 15 more licenses or seats to Salesforce, our CRM system." And I'd look into it, and either we did or we didn't. But you know, it was really hard to track. And so when I went to go look for solutions, there really wasn't a solution for it. And so we decided to enter this market. And You know, we are seeing great success in adoption. We are talking to our current customers, the 8,000 customers we have today, as well as net new, and helping them solve this really, really big problem. And so it's continuing to grow. The customers continue to report that they're acquiring, buying new SaaS solutions every single day, and managing those contracts and managing those agreements are really a big problem. One of the things that we've uncovered is that about 44% of a customer's SaaS solutions go either unutilized or underutilized, meaning they acquire a solution and then they'll only use about 40 to 44% of that solution, meaning only half of their people are actually using the solution or not using it at all. And so our solution helps them give visibility into what their people are using, how they're using it, so they can actually get visibility and be more efficient about how they're spending their dollars.
Now, I would imagine once you kind of decide to get into this space, this is a pretty easy conversation because everybody, like you mentioned, can relate to it in their own personal life. I mean, and then you look at an organization that has hundreds, thousands, you know, tens, hundreds of thousands of employees. You don't even know, you know, what if you could be paying for licenses for people who don't even work in your organization anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So we really have two modules in our system today. The first is spend management, and that's really a tool and application for the office of the CFO to give visibility into what they're spending their dollars on, right? And then we have SaaS operations, which is for the IT team to help with the, for exactly what you just outlined, to onboard and offboard new employees and exiting employees so that you're very efficiently in a click of a button. You know, if Joe were to leave the company, Joe's license is shut off immediately, as opposed to finding out, you know, a month later that he's left and now that license is still alive and potentially either A, it's a security risk because Joe still has access to it, or B, you're still paying for that license and you haven't reprovisioned that to somebody else who's come on board. So it is a very efficient way to manage your systems. Now, to your point about it being an easy conversation, it is, but it's so new that many customers, many companies don't know they have the problem yet. It's when you have the conversation with them that they realize the light bulb goes on. They're like, yes, exactly. That's exactly what we're facing. Tell us more. Oh, you have a solution for that? Tell us more about it. So it really is kind of a two-prong type of conversation. First, you have to give them the light bulb moment, and then you tell them about the solution. But it really is so new that customers have to first be told that they have the problem, and then it really illuminates the situation for them.
Now, have you gotten a feel for, like you deal obviously a lot with the larger enterprises, on average, how many licenses does an individual employee have? Like that, I mean, I'm sure this number is a very large number, much larger than people think.
It is much, much larger. As a matter of fact, we had one of our board members, we just gave him a little assignment at his company. We asked him how many...
I'd ask him to guess first and then tell them.
That's right. We asked him to guess and he came back and he said, I was way off. We had four times the number of applications that I thought we had. And so, you know, the number basically varies from company to company as to how many applications they'll have per employee. It could be 10, it could be 50. It all depends on the size, complexity of the organization, but it's growing exponentially every single year. And so the problem isn't going away.
Right. Because I would imagine this is a situation where people get enamored with some software, and it could be important, super important software, but there's so many new softwares coming and new things to try that somebody's like, oh, we should get this for the team. And they buy one maybe for themselves to try, then they implement it for the team. And then all of a sudden now you have 100 licenses and they're like, yeah, that, and then no one's using it. And you move on to some other shiny object and you're still paying for this license in the background because like nobody's pruning, they're just adding.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what you're describing is generally called shadow IT. So shadow IT occurs when As an organization, you'll have a process generally of procurement, right? Where there's an organized process where you're buying and provisioning software. There's that general procurement. It's going through proper channels. Then each individual department will have its own budget, and a person or department might buy a piece of software because their team might need something, or they as an individual might need something. They put it on their company credit card, or they bill it to corporate to finance, and they use it for themselves, they use it for their department, and it didn't go through proper channels. And so you end up, to your point, you end up having all these people who've gone rogue, and you end up having so many more applications than you thought that you actually had. And that's the other problem that we solve, is that we identify the shadow IT that organizations have that, you know, CFOs aren't aware of and IT managers aren't aware of.
And I would imagine that this also uncovers some redundancy. Like, you might have several tools doing a similar function that have just been purchased by different people.
So then what you do is, you know, companies will then just have a conversation internally about, okay, which ones do we want to turn off? Which ones, firstly, why do we have this going on? Second, can we streamline this so that we have either, you know, we use just one system, or we downgrade to just the applications or the seats that we actually need? So it sparks conversation for efficiency's sake. But that's exactly how it goes, is that you'll identify all these rogue systems, and it sparks conversation about how do we increase and improve our efficiency.
Now, have you gotten to the point where you can share with them, like, where you're getting a feel for, okay, once you implement our, you know, this new FinQuery system, we're going to save you X amount of, like it shows a savings, I would imagine, immediately, because you're able to kind of visualize, okay, it's obvious here. Now, when I look at it in this manner, I can see them all on one page. You know, I can see what the issue is. Whereas these things are kind of like weeds growing, you know, without any, you can't see them. They're hidden.
Right. Exactly. So that's exactly the process. So once we'll have, we've onboarded a customer, and we call hydrate the system with their data, right? So we'll hydrate all of their systems. So now we have complete visibility into all the applications that are being used by that company. And then we send the report back to them to show them, here's what you're spending your money on, here's how many licenses that you've bought, here's what you're using, and here are your opportunities are for savings. And so we'll immediately start sharing with them savings opportunities. And there hasn't been one customer, not one customer, where the cost of our software is more than what we save them. So in essence, our software pays for itself, because we identify more savings than what our software costs. So we have basically a guaranteed ROI on our application, because we immediately show them savings, where they can save and how they can go about savings.
So now, is this kind of industry agnostic, or does this work better in certain areas or enterprise level organizations that have certain issues, or is this pretty much?
That's a great question. That's a great question, Lee. It's industry agnostic. We have customers in virtually every industry: high tech, manufacturing, education. So it really is industry agnostic. What we find is companies can generally track these things fairly efficiently up to about 150 employees. Once you get north of 150 employees, then it really becomes unwieldy for you to track these things efficiently, onboard and offboard efficiently, to be able to forecast, budget, and manage efficiently. So we are agnostic as it relates to the industry, but we really focus on companies that are 150 employees and larger. And our sweet spot generally is 250 to 5,000 employees. That's really where you can see demonstrable savings and efficiencies.
Now, I noticed you didn't mention government. I would imagine this would be tremendously valuable to government.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So when I say organizations, companies, I'm also being inclusive of governments. It's a different animal to onboard to provide access to all of your systems. So, you know, to be honest with you, we don't have government systems yet. We have some nonprofits, but not government entities just yet. Now, we have plenty of government entities for lease accounting, but we haven't gone into the government yet for cost savings. But to your point, and because the sales cycle is just different, right? The sales, there's so many more considerations as it relates to the government, but it's just a matter of time before they understand that there is demonstrable cost savings to be gained here on behalf of, you know, taxpayers for sure.
Right. I mean, this is to me an obvious area of waste. I mean, just if everybody just looks at their own home, and like you mentioned early, with all your subscriptions and just managing those subscriptions more efficiently, I mean, everybody's paying for something that they're not using.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think one of the other areas that we see is valuable on our platform is, in addition to the software management, we've also released contract management. So what's in the market today and fairly available, and you've probably seen it before with DocuSign and Adobe and EchoSign, are these workflow systems that are pre-signature, right? So as you're negotiating, redlining an agreement, it's readily available. What's lacking in the marketplace, and it really ties seamlessly with software management and subscriptions, is post-signature, a central repository post-signature for all your contracts, not just subscriptions, but all of your contracts. So we bring the value of software management to contract management as well. And we basically take the handshake from a contract lifecycle management entity, like an ironclad, that uses a DocuSign or an EchoSign pre-signature. And we take the handoff and we've layered in renewal notices, alerts to the business. Because usually what ends up happening is when a contract is signed, whether it's a subscription, like what we're talking about with like your Netflix or, you know, Salesforce, or your lease, right? It generally would go into a legal department and it would just sit there, right? Where really the entities that are driving the business are the CFOs or the lines of business and the like. And those are the folks who want to get alerts on, hey, when is my renewal window up? What are the key clauses I need to be aware of? And when do I get alerts on when those clauses, there might be some sort of alert that I need for those clauses. And so we've expanded the reach of software management, that sort of active management capability. We've expanded it outside the realm of software management into any sort of contract, so that to your point, there is no waste. If you're using our system, there's no waste that you can experience because you are actively being able to manage any one of your contracts, whether it's software, whether it's a lease, whether it's an insurance term or contract or anything like that. So that what we facilitate, Lee, is your active management, forecasting and workflows and accounting of any of your contracts that you're signing that signs you up and commits you to a spend for any sort of term, whether it's a year or 5 years. And it allows CFOs and CTOs to be able to really actively manage all of their spend, have complete visibility so that there are no surprises. One of the things that we talk about internally all the time at FinQuery is no surprises. No surprises. You don't want to be surprised with a Netflix bill of an increase, right? You know, same thing with, you know, any sort of lease term or any sort of insurance or anything like that, whether it's software or not. You don't want to be surprised with any sort of increase in a cost or renewal or anything like that. So we believe in no surprises. So complete visibility into all your large areas of spend.
So now, let me make sure I understand this, that within the contracts, if there's terms that say, oh, on this date, this is going to go to this price, your software can kind of understand that and give me a heads up. That's like, right. Hey, don't forget, you know, June 1st, this thing's going to cost you 50% more. Like, if you don't make this move, like, it's kind of, it reads the contracts and understands where issues might be based on what it's seeing on the document, and it's giving you some sort of a heads up?
That's exactly right. Several years ago, we made a pretty substantial investment in artificial intelligence to read contracts and alert people, whoever you designate as being the point of contact, to make alerts as to whenever those key clauses become come to term. Right. So yes, exactly right. If there is a renewal window that's coming up, our system will give you an alert that, it's now March 7th. You're 60 days out from your renewal. Your renewal window kicks in 30 days. And there is a 5% price increase. And so it gives you that alert so that you can now proactively reach out to your vendor and actively negotiate. Eventually, part of our roadmap, Lee, is to give people analyses about whether they're overspending, underspending, whether they have a good deal, a fair deal, or whether they're overpaying, and give them analysis based on the depth and breadth of the data that we have. We'll be able to analyze, hey, you've got a good deal, a bad deal, and you need to negotiate harder, and or here are three other vendors that you might want to be talking to. And so eventually providing them with a market opportunity to not just analyze whether you've got a good deal, but here are some other better deals that you might be able to benefit from. So that's on our roadmap that they'll be coming soon.
Wow, man, exciting times for you. Congratulations.
Thanks, Lee. Really, we're having fun over here.
Now, if somebody wants to learn more, have a more substantive conversation with you or somebody on the team, what's the coordinates? Website?
Go to finquery.com, finquery.com, or you can reach out directly to me at joe.schaub@finquery.com, and be happy to facilitate any type of conversation, and be happy to help in any way that we can.
Good stuff. Well, again, congratulations on all the success. You're doing such important work, and we appreciate you.
Thank you for the time. We enjoyed it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We'll see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.